So we're going to open up our Bibles to Romans and chapter 12. I'm going to read the whole of the chapter. We won't be focusing on the whole of the chapter, but it's worth us reading the whole of the chapter. So Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly and sisterly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So today we're going to be thinking about using your gift. In the last few weeks, in the last two or three months, we've been reflecting on words of encouragement that we read in the scriptures and receiving them for ourselves. Words of encouragement that, of course, were spoken, if they're in the scriptures, at least 2,000 years ago and sometimes 3,000 years ago. Encouragement is about giving strength to somebody. When God encourages us, he gives us strength. He gives us courage to do things that perhaps we wouldn't ordinarily want to do. He helps us step up to be the people that he has created us to be. And today we're going to be thinking about using your gift. The word of encouragement from God is, use your gifts. He will strengthen you as you do so. But there is also the encouragement to us to encourage one another, to strengthen one another by using our gifts. So, question, what is your gift? What is your gift? If I had a whiteboard here, what would you call it? What would you say is your gift? Now, I recognize that I'm faced with a host of multi-talented geniuses. Is that right? I am faced with people who are immensely gifted. Now, when I say, what is your gift? I reckon, isn't it true? There are lots of things you can do, and you can do well. And it might be that you say, nah, you've got the question wrong. Not is what is your gift, but what are your gifts? I've got so many gifts. I sometimes say to people, if you could do one thing, what would it be? If you could do one thing, not just in the church, if you could do one thing, what would it be? Now, it might be that for a job, let's say you're a doctor and you work in a doctor's surgery, but your heart is to, work in Africa, building houses. That's the one thing. If you could do it, you'd do it. What is the one thing that you'd do if you could? Not fly to the moon or anything like that. But the one thing, you're gifted in this way and this way and this way and this way and so on. Lots of gifts, lots of things you can do. But if you could only choose one, what would you do? It might be that you say, I would sing. I would sing. It might be that you say, do you know what I really enjoy doing? I never get the chance to do this, but what I really enjoy doing is administration. I love just getting things ordered and placed. Probably drives everybody else mad, but for me, it is just the thing. What is the one thing? It might be that the one thing you would do, if you could, is to write. Write books, write poetry, write songs. And you say, that's the thing I'd really love to do. I'd never do it because I'm no good at it. How do you get better at a gift? You practice. So it might be that the one thing you'd do, if you could, you're actually not that good at. But it's the one thing, if you had the chance, you'd do. And that's what we need to be asking ourselves today. If you could do one thing, what would it be? In the passage that we read together today, there was a list of gifts. We could have turned to 1 Corinthians 12 and had a different set of gifts. If we could turn to Ephesians 4 and have another set of gifts. But here in this passage, we have a set of gifts. In verse 6, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. What is your gift? What the scriptures tell us is that we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Now, some of the gifts we have feel as though they're natural. And we think, I can't remember a time when I've not been able to do this. A natural thing. But even these gifts, the things that are unnatural to us as breathing, even these are what are called grace gifts. As the scripture says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. There are those who talk about charismatic gifts. gifts of grace from the Holy Spirit. The gifts that are mentioned here are charismatic gifts. They are grace gifts. They're defined in that way, these gifts. They are gifts of grace given by God to you. Even the very things that you think, well, I've always been able to play the piano. It's natural to me. It's a grace gift. God has given you that as a gift because he is kind and generous. Now, what does the encouragement say? If a person's gift is, in verse 6, it actually says prophesying, but if we use it generally, if a person's gift is, whatever it is, let them use it in proportion to their faith. Whatever your gift is, use it in service of God. So whatever it was you were just dreaming up, whatever it was that you were thinking, if there was one thing, because I suspect that that's who God created me to be somebody who does this thing. If that is your gift, the scripture directly encourages us, use your gift. Use your gift. Shall I just leave it there? You could do, but no, I won't. I could. Just use your gift. God has blessed you. Now, something I want to say something about God's gift to you. And I just need to explain. You do not own it. You do not own it. You say, what do you mean? You do not own your gift. Or you do not, it is not yours to control and do with as you please. You see, what I see sometimes is that people, there are people who are immensely gifted, and we don't actually have to think very hard to be aware of people who are immensely gifted, who in their own minds, they say, I am gifted, I possess my gift, it is mine to use for myself. And they kind of own that thing. One of the wonderful things, I suppose, coming from a larger family, is that my brothers and sister and my mum, they go to other churches all around the country. And from time to time, I hear wonderful stories about what happens in their church, their various churches. And I discover, well, other churches are just as quirky as ours. And that's an encouragement to me, you see. But then you hear stories, or I hear stories, about the lady who has been making tea and serving tea after the church service forever. No, she makes tea well. She does it okay. And everybody was blessed by the gift that this particular woman had, and she humbly made tea. Until somebody else wanted to do it. The depth of offense felt by this lady. This is my job. Have you heard that? This is my gift. This is what I do. That's what I mean about those who feel they own their gift. They can't move aside. Because they possess, they're there. The young man who played guitar, leading worship week by week. He'd come up through the church, through the brigades, our boys' brigade. He was leading worship. That was his thing. Until somebody else came along who was just as gifted as he was. And the humility was there. Until somebody else was there. And then the discovery was made. He felt as though he owned his gifts. this is what I do. Don't you dare take this off me. And it's important to recognize, very deep this will go with some folk. It's very important to realize it is God's gift to you. You do not own the gift. It is not yours to control. It is not yours to do with as you please. You have responsibility for the gifts that God has given you. But as we'll see in just a moment, there is a humility that we are asked to have in the use of our gift and the place that that gift gives us. You have responsibility for the gift God has given you, or you might say you have responsibility for the ability that God has given you. You have a responsibility to use it and to use it well. You are accountable to God for the way that you use your gift, and that works both ways. You are accountable to God for the way you use the gift, but you are also accountable to God for the way you don't use the gift. And it may be, as we went through just a moment ago, thinking about the gifts that we have, it might be that you don't do it. You do nothing. The encouragement is use the gift. It might be that you need to speak to me or one of the deacons or somebody afterwards and say, look, I've got this gift. This is what I'd like to do. I don't feel there's opportunity in the church to do it. It might be an opportunity in the town, somewhere in community where I can use my gift, because that is what I'm about. So we need to hear the word of encouragement, use your gift, but we need to just be aware it is God's gift to you. You have responsibility for it. Let's not think we own the gift. We've been given it to nurture it and do well with it. But this passage is all about community life. A couple of thoughts here. This passage is all about community life. It's all about how best to live together as a believing community. And this is where we need to ask the question, okay, what is your gift for? What is your gift for? The encouragement, use your gift. It is God's gift to you to look after, have responsibility for, but don't possess it too tightly. What is your gift for? Two things. The first, your gift is a blessing to you. God has given you certain abilities, certain skills as a blessing to you. Is that right? You know, when you do the thing that is your gift, when you do the thing that God created you to do, how good do you feel? Have you ever been there? When you've done the thing you love doing, don't you feel fantastic? That's why we become possessive about it, because we feel fantastic about it. God has given you gifts to be a blessing to you because you feel great. You know God's blessing upon you when you do the gift. Was it Eric Liddell? Was it in Chariots of Fire? Who's it? We must all have seen the film, Chariots of Fire. You know, God made me fast. I feel God's pleasure when I run fast. When you do the thing that is your gift, you will know God's pleasure. That's right. What's your gift for? Well, it's to be a blessing to you, but it's also as an encouragement to others. Why do we need to encourage one another to use gifts? It is that we all might be encouraged. Four very quick things. Four vital keys in using your gift. And the first is this: give yourself as an offering of, give yourself to God as an offering of worship. One of the reasons why we sometimes get into a mess when we think about using gifts is because we just go for the gifts. This is my ability. This is what I'm going to do. Sometimes nobody better stand in my way when I'm using my gifts. This is it. I'm going to do it. Now we have to start. What does it say at the beginning of Romans 12? It says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We begin, when we think about gifts, you may have a gift, but you have to stand back and say, hang on, the first thing I must do is offer myself, not just my gift, but myself, everything that I am, as a gift of worship to God. That's where it begins. Offer yourselves total and complete to God. Give yourself to God as an offering of worship. That's where you begin. So you have your gift. You're eager to use it. Begin. I give myself as an offering of worship. I lay it all down. I remember the story somebody told, which I thought was a wonderful story, and I told it to some young people, and I was delighted when I heard them telling it to somebody else. Somebody was saying, do you know, I'm so looking forward to going to heaven. Why are you so looking forward to going to heaven? I'm so looking forward to going to heaven because, you know, when I get to heaven, it's going to be all gleaming and bright, covered in jewels and gold and silver. It's going to be fantastic. And when I get to heaven, I will be wearing on my head as a golden crown the gift that God has given to me. And I will have, throughout my life, I will have polished up my golden crown, the gift that God has given to me. And I will approach the gates of heaven, and Peter will open the gates because he will see me coming. And there he will see the radiance of my gift, my golden crown. And he will fling the gates open and say, welcome, come inside. And I'll go inside. And there I'll be, and the angels will line up on either side and applaud me as I enter the throne room of God himself. And I will enter that throne room, and I will go up to the throne of God. And I will take off my crown and put it at his feet. We begin by worship, by knowing that what God gives to us, he gives to us, that one day we will give it all back to him. And so we begin with that. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. That's where we begin. And if we can't do that with our gift, if we're not prepared to let go, put it down at the feet of God, don't start. That's where we must begin. And if we don't do it, that's where we get into trouble. Second thing is grow in maturity, value your gift. And this is a word about humility. This is where God in the scriptures say, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So you have a gift. It might be the greatest gift. Think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. What's that about? Do you know, sometimes when we are immature in our faith, let's take the example of the one who prophesies, who speaks God's word. When we are immature in your faith, in our faith, if you have the gift of prophecy, of speaking God's word, what tends to happen is you're forever speaking God's word into people. I could tell you stories, many stories about people who've sort of, this is what God's saying to you. This is what God's saying to you. This is what God's saying. I've got this gift. I'm a prophet. When we're immature in our faith, when we grow mature in our faith, we say very little in terms of as a prophet. Why? Because we come to see our gift as it truly is, a treasure from God. And we are in awe of this treasure from God. We grow in maturity We value our gift and we're so much more careful about how we use it. Grow in maturity, value your gift. It's a word about humility. Spiritual maturity brings deeper faith. Deeper faith brings greater wisdom. The wise know the value of the gift. This is an awesome thing that God has given me. Grow in maturity, value your gift. So worship first, and then we grow in maturity. Thirdly, we live with an awareness of others, about community. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Is this next statement true? Your gift belongs to all. Is that true? God has given you your gift to be a blessing to others. So this whole thing about possessing it, this is what I do. Person who's been church treasurer for 55 years refuses to give it up. That's my gift. No. Live with an awareness of others. God has graciously given me this ability that I might bless others. Third thing. Now the fourth final thing is simply use your gift. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Again, this growth in maturity. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. All of this is your act of worship. Now the passage goes on in verse 9. Love must be sincere. Why does it say that? Because so often we might lord our gifts over others. We might use our gifts to control others. We might use our gifts to inappropriately influence others. And we do all of this as an act of worship in love for others. So these four key things that we have. Give yourself as an offering to God in worship. Grow in maturity. Value the wonderfulness of your gift. Live with an awareness of others. You've been given your gift, not to hide away, but to bless others, to strengthen others. And fourthly, simply use your gift. These four things. The encouragement today is use your gift. Because if you use your gift, we'll all be encouraged. Let's pause and let's pray. Gracious Father, we know that the gifts you have given us are grace gifts from your Holy Spirit. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit would rest upon each one of us, just breathing upon us that the spark within us that is our gift might grow into a flame. And it might be just immersed in love and kindness. A genuine heart, Father, might we have to be a blessing to others. Help us to be humble, but help us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.